The Legend of Zelda is an absolute juggernaut franchise that has redefined what video games can be multiple times over. Innumerable Game of the Year awards form the legacy of this storied franchise. But what's up next for Zelda? Today, four competitors will bring pitches for a fresh new take on the Zelda franchise. Welcome to Armchair Devs, Zelda. Hello and welcome to Armchair Devs Zelda. I'm your host, Dan Video Games. We have four competitors with us today. Let me introduce you to them. We've got Bob.
I'm Triforce to be here.
From Gigaboots. We've got KZ Excellent.
I'm Hookshot to be here.
We've got Mr. Feel from Mr. Feel's Wild Ride.
Reference.
And Dr. Aggro from Dr. Aggro.
Game of the Year. I called it. I said it first. It only counts for mine.
Oh, shit. Whew. Woo. Writing that down right now. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Aggro. That's cheating, but I'll allow it. For people who haven't watched Armchair Devs before, in Armchair Devs, what we do is we have these four competitors come together to give me a pitch for their game. This episode, it is a Zelda game. I will ask them questions. They will ask each other questions. They have a drawing prompt, and then they will try to boost themselves up while tearing down their competitors. I'm very excited for this. The Legend of Zelda is really a fantastic franchise, and not one that always fits in the same small box. So I think there is a definite range of versatility with this IP. So let's go ahead and get to our elevator pitches. We're going to start with Mr. Feel from Mr. Feel's Wild Ride. When you start talking, you have 30 seconds to give me your elevator pitch.
Two great franchises collide in Story of Hyrule, Heroes of Kakariko Town. Select from one of two chosen siblings and experience a new story centered on the recurring village of the Zelda franchise, raise crops and livestock, battle monsters, and interact with unique incarnations of many iconic Zelda characters.
That's it.
Oh, okay. And that's time. Well, now that's time. Thank you very much, Mr. Feel, for your pitch. Two stories. The title again, that was Story of Heroes, Kakariko Village.
Story of Hyrule, Heroes of Kakariko Village.
There we go. Story of Hyrule. I already have questions flooding into my brain. But before I can ask you more, we need to give these other competitors a chance to do their elevator pitches. We go next to Dr. Aggro. Dr. Aggro, you have 30 seconds from when you start talking.
The young Princess Zelda is believed to be the fulfillment of a prophecy that a great sage will once again rise from Hyrule's royal family to claim the power of the Triforce and push back the darkness gathering at their borders. But first, she has to pass her math test! In the learning of Zelda, you'll have to study hard and make the grade if you want to avoid summer school and save the kingdom of Hyrule. Test your wit and wisdom against six subjects in the newest Funtertainment experience from Nintendo.
Okay, that's time. Thank you very much, Dr. Aggro. I'm very, very excited for this. I'm a big fan of edutainment, so thank you for setting some of that up for this episode. Got some real Mario game on PC energy going on right now. We go next to Bob. Bob, you have 30 seconds from when you start talking.
Magic has devastated the world. The Master Sword is shattered. And to make things worse, Link has been betrayed by his oldest friend, Ganondorf. Now Link must pick up his abandoned revolver and face six demon outlaws terrorizing the disconnected lands of Hyrule. Legend of Zelda, The Shattered Prince, is an open-world third-person shooter with multiplayer elements set in a magically infused Wild West world.
That's time. Thank you, Bob. Legend of Zelda, The Shattered Prince, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, thank you. There was so much information flying at my face. The Shattered Prince. That has a bit of a Harry Potter air to it. Are you aware of this?
I know.
Okay. Okay, just checking. Oh,
the guilt.
Is there going to be...
I am the Shattered Prince.
Yeah, exactly. Is there going to be a scene where someone just abruptly yells, I am the Shattered Prince?
No, that won't be there.
It cuts to Ganondorf and we laugh.
Okay, well, we go to our last competitor, KZ Excellent. KZ, whenever you're ready, you got 30 seconds.
In The Legend of Zelda, Lands of Ruin, a man named Link journeys to Hyrule, a land long burdened by the tyranny of the Sorcerer King, Vati. It's up to Link to liberate the land, restore a legendary weapon, and cleanse Hyrule of a corruption that's been lurking within for centuries in this open-world adventure that is an evolution of Breath of the Wild.
For centuries... Okay, well, thank you very much for your pitch.
Bark, bark.
There's a lot of direction to go in here.
Yep. I'm glad that everyone is different.
Yeah, these are pretty different. We're going to start first with Mr. Feel. Story of Hyrule, Heroes of Kakariko.
Yes.
It has farming elements from the sound of it.
Yes.
Would you like to go into what the livestock might be, what crops do, and is there an advanced market dynamic to this, or are we talking flat rates?
Well, this is a crossover with the Story of Seasons franchise.
Oh.
So it includes many of the same elements, but it will have a Zelda aesthetic to it. You can raise cuckoos. You can grow and sell bomb flowers on your farm. You will have to buy a special tool to use those or you blow yourself up.
Oh, that does seem risky.
You can also cook with them, which has benefits, but is also very dangerous.
That seems more like a Goron thing. Are you going to be okay eating something you cooked with a bomb flower?
It's fine. It's like fugu, but a flower. And instead of being poisoned, you blow your arms off.
Okay.
But yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so that seems pretty interesting. I guess we're going to go to Agro next. Agro.
Present.
You have a school setting. Specifically, mm-hmm. This is summer school.
No, this is actually the Hyrule Royal Academy. As a summer school, but that is a fail state at the end of the semester. Ooh.
Oh, wow. Okay. Man, I thought we were coming here post-failure, but no, that is just a lingering threat. Okay. I have to ask. Mm-hmm. We should just get straight to it. Mm-hmm. This takes place in a school.
It does.
Are there any dating elements and or hot boys?
Well, I mean, we're going with kind of more of a Wind Waker aesthetic, so hot boys might be a little bit of a stretch. I mean, depending on where you're coming from. Okay. I don't want to put you in a box on that one.
This cartoon doodle of Link's face is so hot.
That treasure dude who sold you maps, the most attractive man in the world.
He's the most handsome guy on campus.
Yes.
First of all, the hottest person in the entirety of the Zelda series is the mask salesman from Majora's Mask. But putting that aside,
Miyamoto fuckers be like.
In addition to regular scholarship, there are a lot of interpersonal scenes, a lot of NPC character dialogue and evolving storylines. But the closest you get to any actual dating or romance mechanics is the mid-semester spring dance event. But we like to keep that very chaste and, you know, platonic and above board.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I feel like Nintendo would approve of that. Thank you very much. Bob.
Yeah.
Who is the Shattered Prince?
Oh, the Shattered Prince is Ganondorf. Like I said, he's your friend originally. So when he betrays you, you find out soon afterwards that his soul has been ejected from his body, and now you keep it on your waist, like in a jar.
What?
So he's your sidekick character.
Yeah.
And his soul is in your jar.
Okay, sure, man.
That's pretty cool. I really like that. It's very tragic, but, you know, some real friendship when you can keep your bestie's soul in a jar. KZ,
nah.
I think building on Breath of the Wild is brilliant. That game was so incredibly well received. What are you going to do to differentiate yourself, make yourself uniquely different and appealing to people who played Breath of the Wild and enjoyed it so many years ago?
Well, the open world and being able to go wherever you want and any dungeon could be your first dungeon, I think is really cool. However, it runs into this problem that they are a bit more limiting. So what I've decided to do is, of course, you'll get new gadgets and other stuff as you play the game. So all the dungeons will scale based on where you're at in the game. If you've cleared out dungeon 1, 2, and 3, your fourth dungeon is going to have puzzles and use stuff from the other three, like different gadgets that you had, which will lead it to your fourth dungeon will be different. And someone's like, I did that one first. It was a lot easier.
Oh, interesting.
So you're constantly like getting more complicated things to deal with. It also allows repeat playthroughs to feel a bit more fresh.
Okay, how many dungeons do you have real quick?
In total, there's going to be 7, but 6 and 7 are more of like when the game becomes a bit more linear for the end of the game. The first 5 are like you building up plot-wise toward an event.
Okay, all right. Gotcha. I'm about to redefine the 4 rules of armchair tennis.
Oh, son of a bitch.
No, always good.
Gentlemen.
Yeah.
In between the two questions I'm going to ask you, I'm going to do a lightning round question. This will be very short and easy, very direct. The Legend of Zelda is known for iconic title themes. I'm going to ask you to hum what your title theme will sound like for your respective games.
Oh, God.
We're going to go ahead and start with Dr. Agro. Dr. Agro, just give me a sample of what you think the song on the title screen of your game sounds like.
Well, I mean, after the intro drums and the rising horns, we hit that main leitmotif of.
Oh, it's very. How do I describe this? It reflects the more formal air of the Hyrulean Academy, and I really respect that. It immediately gets across to you. This is serious. It's school time. Okay, we're going to move on to Bob. Bob, how does the title screen theme for the Shattered Prince sound?
I'm so doomed. I can't hum. Let's try this.
Okay, that's great. If anyone's watched Cromarty High, they will also be losing it because this just transformed into a bit from that. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Bob. I like how it gets it starts sort of happy and then it dives into a minor key. It's a very complicated thing you've done and people will be studying it for years. Okay, just wrote down in my notes. Okay. Mr. Feel, would you like to give me a sample of what your title screen theme for Story of Hyrule sounds like?
Well, it's a fusion of Lon Lon Ranch and the main theme, so it goes something like
Oh, that's really good. I like that.
I fucking hate you so much, Dave. Every episode I host from now on will be filled with bear traps.
Like, I do comedy because I can't draw or sing. You're a son of a bitch.
Well, that's it. That seems like a really good fusion there. You know, people remember Lon Lon Ranch. They remember the main theme. You know, the fusion of those two themes seems like a sure bet to get across. Hey, it's farming Zelda, and it's time for that. Let's get some milk. KZ?
Yes?
You know, we've heard some powerful themes so far. Could I hear the theme for your game?
Oh, of course. I was always thinking about what the theme song of my game would be.
I think we can get away with it. Thank you.
Zelda.
I was like, no, he's not doing that. He can't be.
What do you mean? I'm just doing the theme of The Legend of Zelda, Lands of Ruin.
Oh, yeah. That's the fantastic adventure-filled theme. I like it a lot. It's really good.
Yes, it's a game where you'll solve a mystery or rewrite history.
Yeah, it seems like that's really what's going on here, and that theme gets that across really effectively. Yes. Thank you, KZ.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Let me just write it in. Okay.
There are no ducks in my game.
That's a weird thing to tell me right now, but thank you for the info. I appreciate being informed.
I feel like that might be a downgrade. Breath of the Wild might have had ducks.
My game has ducks.
Oh, okay. Oh, man, that was close.
Game development is fluid.
It can change on a dime.
Yes, it sure can. Just look at Ubisoft.
That's more like changing on a dump truck falling downhill.
And the dump truck is full of money.
And the hill is made of money that's shattering.
Oh, no. It's the bottom of Singapore's government.
Oh, no.
What is this show again?
I don't know. Let's get back into the questions, though. Let's rein this in a little bit. Bob.
What's up?
The Legend of Zelda is known for its many great characters. And across many of the games, they have recurring characters that come back with a different twist or a slightly different interpretation of what makes them them. Can you name some of the iconic Zelda characters that will be showing up in your game and how they might have a fresh version or some impactful, meaningful difference in their role in the story or just how they act?
All right. I got a couple here. So we're going to have Zelda is now the owner of the local tavern in Kakariko Village, Hyrule Castle.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
And she'll basically be in charge of that and run the town through there. So you're getting quests from her and stuff like that. She basically runs all the major things in the game.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. So you'll be seeing Zelda a lot as you come back to turn in your quests and stuff.
Yeah. And of course, she's got her bouncer, Impa.
Okay, I got to ask real quick. Spoken dialogue?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's going to be great. We better get a great actress for Zelda. Make sure she really delivers. Makes you feel like this is my home, even though it's a fucking bar.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Do you have any others you would like to tell me about?
Sure. There's also Malin's coming back, but okay. She's going to be working as a glider repair woman. She'll be in charge of that. Because your glider is going to be your main way of transport in this world. It's all devastated by magic.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. It is, you know, open world. You're going to need a way to get around. Glider makes sense. And gliders, they could probably get pretty damaged. So having someone who repairs them, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and upgrades them too, of course.
Oh, okay. Well, give me one more.
On the glider.
Linkle will be your sister.
Okay, that's
yeah. This will be the first time she's in a mainline game.
To the other competitors, I'm sorry. The audience already has an opinion.
God damn it, Bob. I called Game of the Year.
This is not fair.
It's okay. There's plenty of time to make back these points with me and the audience, maybe. I don't know. They may be fully decided. Thank you, Bob. Is there any character trait you'd like to give Linkle other than your sister?
I mean, she's still goofy.
Okay.
She still can't do anything right and gets lost everywhere.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, how Seiko is she?
She's an 8.
Okay.
She's not full Seiko. No one is.
Not full Seiko. Gotcha. Fantastic. Thank you, Bob. Mr. Feel.
Yes.
First off, let me throw it back to your theme. Thank you very much. That fusion's fantastic. Secondly, and more importantly, moving on in the future. The main goal in a lot of the story of Seasons, / formerly known as Harvest Moon games, is to get married and build out your farm and etc. There usually isn't an overarching plot aside from that a lot of the time. Would you say there is an overarching plot in your game, or is it romance and home improvement based?
There is romance and home improvement, but the structure of the game is you move to town, you start your farm. There will be some sort of problem in town. Maybe the problem will cause some inconvenience for you. Maybe it won't. At your own,
you know, speed. You can take your time. There's no time limit. You go investigate that problem. You discover a dungeon. It's similar to Link's Awakening, where you would have to do some goofy thing to access the dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
That would usually involve, like, the townsfolk. And then you do the dungeon, and the plot progresses to the next chapter. But the chapters aren't, like, a set length of time. It's goal-based.
Okay, very cool.
And sometimes you'll need a, like, clearing the third chapter expands your farm. You now have more room. Because you find an item that lets you blow up boulders that are, riddling, like, the furthest reaches of your field. And nothing can get rid of them, but you find, like, the glove of giant strength and can smash or lift them. And stuff like that. They feed back into each other.
I think that meshes really well with the concept of a story seasons game, but also delivers on some of the more adventure aspects of Zelda. I think this is a really good fusion, and I think that's a great commonality to find between these two IPs. Thank you. KZ.
Yes.
Now, this isn't the question, but I'm going to ask it anyways.
Sure.
Are there still ducks in your game?
We're back and forth on this. We've added a rooster.
Okay, I can see how that might be a compromise, but we really need to pull up to a decision by the end of this episode on whether or not they're ducks.
I highly suggest field check in with me on those as bonus.
Casey, I appreciate the fact that past the first three dungeons, you're integrating proper item use into other dungeons to elevate the design of them. That's really important, and I feel like Link Between Worlds was lacking that a bit.
Yeah, it's starting like immediately.
So
like you do that first dungeon, your second dungeon will incorporate it.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the fourth dungeon that did that. So you're saying it starts at the second?
Yeah, basically it makes it so that you're constantly upgrading as the game goes on. So it doesn't feel like, okay, every dungeon's really basic. No, we can't have that.
So these dungeons can be played in any order.
Any order. You go through those first five, which means there's essentially five variations of them.
Okay. Since the last two are hyperlinear.
Yeah, since the last two expect you to have done the five, so it can just kind of focus on being a high-tier experience toward the end of the game.
So your game basically has 27 dungeons.
It essentially has 27 dungeons, which is something that we can put on the box and say in interviews, saying, really, to beat the game, you'll have to put in hundreds of hours, technically. and that is something Japanese developers love to say.
Yeah, they do!
But yes, what is your question?
Got a lot of information out of that, but
yeah,
I'm going to go ahead and ask the question I pulled up to this drive-thru window to ask. KZ.
Yes.
Zelda is known for taking some of its more iconic items used for traversing dungeons and reinventing them in meaningful ways. Can you give me two items that are known throughout the Zelda series and your unique twist on them?
Yeah, we have the hook shot.
Okay.
And we decided to make it work like the meat hook does in Doom Eternal. So there'll be puzzles. Instead of you just shooting and you just shooting forward to it, you're using physics to jump, so you swing toward it, and then you can swing around things. So this allows you to potentially sequence break some things if you want, and leads to more fun platforming puzzles.
I feel like whatever dungeon that's in is going to be everyone's first once they find that. Okay, and your second one.
Okay, second one. Let's see here. Man, that's real tough. I'm between two of them in my head that I'm definitely not thinking of right now.
Of course not.
Uh-huh. Naturally.
It's okay. I can wait while thinking about classic Disney's cartoons.
Oh, okay. Good. All right. So, you know, in Breath of the Wild, you have a bunch of different powers set to the Sheikah Slate. And one of them is Magnesis.
Yes.
And you can use that to slowly move things around.
Yes.
Well, we put a twist on it here. It's really fast.
Okay.
Depending on how long you hold it.
Okay, so you move things very quickly?
Yeah, you can move things really quickly. It's easier to like throw things and deal with stuff like that. It has a general like power to it.
Okay.
Instead of taking 10 years to move one door.
Okay, that's fantastic. Thank you, KZ.
Yes.
We're going to pull up to Agro. Agro.
Ooh. Yo.
Since the curriculum seems to be the focus of your game,
mm-hmm.
to some extent, I need to know to what extent are these, you said there were six subjects. Let's go over that real quick. What are they?
Okay. Well, you've got science taught by Pura from Breath of the Wild. Math taught by Twin Rova. Geography taught by Kepora Gabora. Music taught by the King of Red Lions. History taught by Impa from Zelda 2. And gym taught by Impa from Ocarina of Time.
Ah.
Bob, I think he's coming for you.
I don't know. He needs one more Impa.
We have not gotten to the secret Impa yet.
Okay.
Having asked you about these games for a couple questions now, I think it's about time we saw your drawings. Now, the drawing prompt for this episode of Armchair Devs Zelda was to draw your Link. Yeah, Zelda games are really known for their different interpretations of how Link looks. Even among a single console, you have multiple different ideas of what Link looks like, except for the N64. We're going to go ahead and go to Dr. Agro first. Agro, what does your Link look like?
Oh, boy.
All right. Let's see here. Just got to grab my Link. Oh, he's not in there because that's the wrong folder.
Ooh.
If you go to the right folder, he's a lot easier to find. Behold.
Oh.
I like his nose.
He's giving me animated Christmas special energy.
Yeah, I'm getting some real Rankin Bass energy for this. Yeah,
I love this man spread.
It's very powerful, this Rankin Bass looking dude. Would you like to tell me about the personality of your Link while I stare at him real quick?
Link is a very friendly and outgoing sort of student, but he's got a little bit of trouble keeping up in his academic classes. He's, you know, canonically kind of an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
So every day you have the opportunity to use some of your free time to tutor Link in various subjects.
Oh, wow.
We actually have a system in which if you've been having trouble in a specific subject, like you've been getting poor scores on your math quizzes or your science quizzes, we'll actually recycle a lot of that older material into the things Link asks for help with so that you can go over your previous problem areas, which both reinforces lessons you may have had trouble with and shows you how far you've come in mastering that material as a confidence reinforcer.
Wow. Yeah, that really promotes the idea of growth of the player. You know, it's a very positive feeling. I like this a lot. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to move on now to Bob. Bob, show me your Link.
Okay, here we go.
Tell me a little bit about him. Whoa. Whoa.
Oh, the midriff.
Shit.
Bob?
Yeah?
This was a Zelda game, not the best-selling Zelda game ever. That was not the prompt, but...
Is that a scar on the face?
Yes, he has a burn wound from when Ganondorf betrayed him.
Oh, very cool.
Ooh.
And he's got his revolver made by Gorons, because he's an apprentice to a Goron craftsman.
Ooh.
And the Master Sword is shattered, so it's now become bits that you can use. Since it's a Serpent's Tutor, you can do like a lock-on element and these shoot at guys.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, God, it's like the Shard Thrower in Returnal.
Shattered sword funnels.
Yeah.
Okay,
Fly my fangs.
Yes!
Goron Revolver. Midriff. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Bob, for your drawing. We're going to move on now to KZ. KZ, show me your Link. Let me hear about him.
Sure, this is the first time that I've drawn it with paper and art supplies as opposed to my my uses of Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get him over here. Here he is.
He's so powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's got a bit of a nomad vibe. One, I wanted to invoke all good RPG designs by giving him one shoulder pad.
That's important, yeah.
That helps his general like cape cloak thing that's all ripped up, because he's traveled across many places before making the journey to Hyrule.
Is that the fucking Soul Eater?
So that's just a generic. That's just a generic sword that you can find out throughout the game. I wanted to make a general design that's like, hey, this is what you probably would have around the middle of the game. This like armor set. Nice. As you can see on the right, he's got the hilt of a sword. That's the Master Sword, but it's only the hilt because it was destroyed long, long ago. Doing those dungeons is about finding a way into the sixth dungeon where you can restore the Master Sword, which will just become a beam saber and not a real, like, sword.
Ooh.
It'll become, ooh, like, nice. your super hype weapon. So he'll be traveling around with that hilt for the entire game, basically, building up to the moment that you can forge it.
Oh, that's very, very cool.
Mm-hmm. He also has a like a little bandana. And it's purple because I think purple bandanas would be cool.
He has a neckerchief.
Yeah, I wanted to use that because I have a purple colored pencil and I thought it was cool.
Noted. Okay, so real quick, we're going to cover some basic facts. KZ, your game's about rebuilding the Master Sword, which shattered long ago.
Yes.
And Bob, your game, mm-hmm. the Master Sword shattered presumably in the beginning?
Yes.
But it floats around your head.
Yes.
Like angry bees.
Yes.
Okay. I just... Phil, quick question. Is the Master Sword in your game shattered?
No.
Okay.
But you'll see it in just a second.
Oh, shit!
Spoilers.
Okay. Well, Phil, I would love to see your link.
Okay. I drew my protagonists rather than just Link, since, you know, story of seasons, you have to be able to pick boy or girl.
Mm-hmm.
So there's Link and Linkle. Link is pretty much the same as in any of the Wind Waker style games. You know, he has like a farmer's hat now instead of you know, the normal green cap. But there's no reason to mess with something that works.
Yeah.
But Linkle, we're taking her in a little bit of a more of like a goofier direction, even from Hyrule Warriors. Where instead of, haha, she's a klutz, it's, this is your sleep paralysis demon.
I picked up on that immediately. She has too much Pope Co energy. It's kind of scary. I could see her hovering over my bed holding that bomb.
Yes. We wanted her to have some real La Creatura energy. But you can see the Master Sword, or in this game, it is the Master Tool.
Ooh.
That can become... That becomes any tool Link or Linkle, if you pick her instead, needs. Can become a shovel, you know, a watering can, except for things it can't become, like the boomerang or the bow and arrow. Those you have to find. But okay. It can become, it's a sword when you leave village and have to fight monsters. So, you know, your shovel, your hoe, your watering can, all that stuff. Fee is indeed back and will express up being upset depending on what stupid thing she has to become.
She's like, why are you calling me a hoe? And you're like, no, I need you to become a hoe, please.
Also, while the script between both characters is exactly the same in every regard,
mm-hmm.
We did give Linkle more unique characterization by just making all of her faces deranged.
God. Whew. Oh man, this was a fantastic segment. I would like to thank everyone who drew a link. These are absolutely precious. If there was no other reason to do this episode, this alone.
Yes, you know what their links, what the links look like, and you know what music will be playing as they do something cool.
We're gonna go now to the next segment. I've asked you a couple questions each. We even had the lightning round. We've seen your drawings, but now it's time for you to grill your other competitors. We're going to let Bob start. Bob, you get to ask each of your competitors one question.
Mr. Friel.
Yes.
Traditionally in Harvest Moon games, you can date people you would not expect. Are there any very strange bachelor or bachelorettes that you want to tell me about?
Well, plausible characters you can have a romance with are Malin, of course, Tingle, Midna, Vadi, Groose, the Happy Mask Salesman, the Bomb Girl, Mipha, Sidon, Rivali, Impa, and the strangest one is the Phonograph Man, who teaches you the Song of Storms.
Mm-hmm. God, yeah.
He's the really far out one.
Yeah, he's pretty far out.
Thank you.
And of course, you can date any character with any protagonist.
Of course.
Fantastic. I love to hear it.
KZ.
Sure.
He's good with whatever you say. Go, Bob. What's in his game?
Yo, what's up?
Time
what's
to
up
yes
as a bonus,
and
would you like to ask about my ducks?
I'll leave that for Phil. Phil okay can ask you about the ducks.
That's good. You're very loyal.
I think one of the best features of Breath of the Wild is the astounding amount of control over the map you have. We can easily set pointers and markers and teleport very easily. What are you doing to expand the map experience?
Well, in general, we have that whole setup where you can have multiple different colored markers, that type of thing. We're allowing like being able to mark it in a couple of different ways of like being able to track how far you are via like meters, stuff like that. We have one called the Aesthetic, which kind of just does a wind-esque thing similar to Ghost of Tsushima. That way, maybe you want to be a bit more immersed in what you're doing.
Okay.
And that type of thing. We have a setting in the menus where it's like auto clear, where whenever you hit a main area that you put a mark on, it will go away if you turn this setting on. And more specifically, if you put the mark on something like a treasure chest or a key area for a quest, for example, it will clear once you've done what you need to do there. That way it's not like, I went in the general area, why is it gone? So we have that as an option. Make it a little bit easier to navigate or make sure to remember what you were doing in case you left for a bit after making that mark.
Sounds good.
Quick question.
Sure.
KZ, can this aesthetic, instead of being a wind, be ducks? Like ducks just run in the direction?
We were thinking about doing something where you could like customize the pattern through unlockables. And we were thinking like, it can be like an ocarina or various other symbols. And I think we could fit some sort of duck shape in there.
Oh, that's good.
We were worried it won't be ducks.
Okay. Great. Continue, Bob.
Woo-hoo.
Dr. Agra?
Yep.
Did you just call him Ducker Agra?
Duckerton?
I'm Duckface.
I need to stop staring at Phil's Linkle one second.
Yeah, no, it's rough.
I've had it up this whole time.
Dr. Agra? The Zelda series is often known for having music almost instrument be like a key feature of the game. Will that be in your game, and to what extent?
Absolutely. In the King of Red Lions music class, you will learn to read sheet music so that you can play a series of instruments, including, of course, an ocarina, a recorder, because, you know, it's a school setting. You'll learn simple chording on ukuleles, and you will also learn how to properly incorporate artillery into large-scale symphonic compositions.
Okay.
I was really thinking the last thing would be to say that you will learn to tune a fish. And that's all my questions. Thank you.
Okay, next we're going to let Mr. Feel ask his competitor some questions. Go right ahead.
Bob.
What's up?
Your game's a third-person shooter.
Uh-huh.
What is the best weapon in your game?
Well, there are a few that might be considered that. I have the destroyed Master Sword with the bits, but there's also I think that my favorite weapon is going to be the Magic Rod. This looks like a regular magic rod. It is very large, like you see in Link to the Past. It's almost as big as a rifle. But it has an iron sight attached to it.
What?
It has two firing modes. One where this thing switches between fire or ice, but also it can be used to create like a shotgun-like explosion in front of you. Or if you charge it, you can fire a rifle-like beam. So say there's water, you need to get across it. You can be like, well, I'll switch to ice mode, which he twirls it, switches over to ice. It freezes everything along the path and also can like just headshot enemies and one-shot them.
Wow.
It's very powerful.
That is very powerful.
Very Hexen core.
Yes.
Thank you, Bob.
No problem.
KZ.
Yes.
Will you find the remnants of any giant structures full of money anywhere on your game world?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, there will be some more complicated ones that, of course, give you chests with stuff in them. But by and large, if there's a chest, there's going to be something good in it because bad chests suck.
Oh, no, KZ. I mean, will there be a giant structure the size of a large building filled with money?
Oh. Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you can also, like, dive in it and swim in it. It's weird.
There we go.
Oh my God.
We're all there now.
The money is silver, though. Don't ask why it's silver and not gold.
Or rupees.
Yeah, I was like, what happened to rupees?
Like, it's an ancient,
I don't know why they collected all this
civilization.
Shit.
Dr. Agro.
Yes, sir.
Does your rendition of Link reflect the aesthetic of the entire game, or is he just some horrible, horrible, unfortunate case of mutantism?
The representation that you see here is reflective of my inability to do art. But yeah, everybody is in more of a Wind Waker style. So you've got the big heads and the big eyes and the interesting body proportions.
Okay, the representation here is indicative of my bad art.
How about the nose?
No, it's just him with that nose. Nobody talks about it. It never comes up, but it's always like in the camera.
Thanks. Is there any shots where it's like it's filling the corner of the frame?
Oh yeah, like there's a lot of shots where you're looking over his shoulder.
Yes.
Like you're looking over his shoulder at his paper, and like he'll turn his head, and it's just nose.
Yes. No further questions.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Field. Those were some great questions. We're going to move to KZ next. KZ?
Yeah?
Ask it away.
Dr. Agro.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Is there a superintendent? If so, who is it?
The superintendent is actually... it's sort of mysterious for most of the game. They keep sending down missives and directives that sort of negatively impact school life.
Yeah.
And in the end, it is revealed that the superintendent of schools in Hyrule is somehow Ganondorf. After all these several cycles, we're still hiring that one guy from the Gerudo who's clearly evil, but his name's not Ganon. You know, it's Ganondorf, but he shows up in an ill-fitting gray suit and basically just wanders around the school building, and if you get into his line of sight, you have to skip your next class as he takes you back to his office to help him, proofread, basically, his autobiography.
Does he look like Wind Waker Ganon, or is he more ripped like other Ganons?
It's weird. Like, he looks more like Ocarina of Time Ganondorf, but, you know, all cel-shaded Wind Waker style. He's the only person proportioned like an adult male.
Oh, no.
That's something. I'm surprised he's not, you know, some sort of teacher about defense against the dark arts, but given that twist, that's a pretty good answer.
Okay, I'm gonna move it over to Bob.
Sure.
Describe to me how visceral your shotgun is.
I mean, that was the magic rod is like the shotgun replacement.
Okay.
So it is pretty harsh. Like I said, went in the shotgun mode. it will really be devastating. You can use it to like clear bushes out or enemies. Then you can switch over to ice mode and make walkways with it. That sort of thing.
I'm using the shotgun mode and I'm walking up and I am 2 inches away from a Goron's chest. What happens?
Why are you shooting a Goron?
I want to know.
Well, if you find a villain Goron, which I do have one in here, it will knock him like 20 feet away. He will survive, Bob, but it won't be
how
good.
Many pieces?
Bob, do they ragdoll?
Yes, he ragdolls, but nothing can pull to pieces. This is a T-rated video, okay?
Oh God, you just ragdoll the Goron on a slope and they roll.
Yeah, it's yes. Like it's like the bouncer.
Thank you. You know what? Similar question in a way, Mr. Feel.
Yes.
Do you have guns?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm done.
Okay. Dr. Agro, ask away.
Okay. All right. I feel like I should start here with KZ. I understand that game development is a hectic and often unpredictable environment, so we're going to leave the duck question aside because I know it's an ongoing question.
Okay.
I've got a list of a few other items, and I was wondering if you could give me a rundown of whether or not they appear in your game.
Go ahead.
Race cars.
There will be one funny relic one, but it's like dead. It's been dead for a long time. It's like a funny reference.
Okay. All right. Lasers.
Yes, it's property of the Master Sword and hazards and puzzles.
And airplanes.
Airplanes, no.
All right, thank you very much. Just gonna check those off. All right.
Okay. Illuminating.
Mr.
Man, this show's going fast. It's a blur.
Mr. Feel.
Yes.
You've got a very farming centric experience planned out here. I was wondering in this game, what if any role do the goddesses traditionally associated with Hyrule have in this experience?
Well, there will be goddess shrines out in the world beyond the village that you can offer things to, and they have likes and dislikes. Most of the time, giving them something will just make them like you a little bit more and increase the chance that a random event happens while you're sleeping. Like, one of them might go, okay, all your crops are now fully grown. You don't have to wait. Or it might go, okay, they're all tended to today. You don't have to pay attention to the day. You can do something else. But if you piss them off, which you can do by giving them the wrong things or deliberately giving them wrong things because you want to see what happens, various horrible things will happen. Like, if you piss them off a little, they might give all your crops the status of weird, which basically means that when you pull a potato out of the ground, it might be in the shape of a person.
Oh, that's very Majora.
Yeah.
Which weird crops have a lower sell value, but sometimes weird crops will have special traits that you can use in cooking or potion making that actually make them better. So there actually would be a reason to deliberately piss off the goddesses if you were trying to get weird crops.
Interesting.
Very nice. Follow-up question. What is Din's favorite vegetable?
Peppers.
Thank you.
Are they hatch green chilies?
Bob, video games.
Oh, yeah.
You have said that your main character is going to carry around the soul of Ganon in a jar on his belt.
Yeah, like a puzzle.
So I wanted to drill down in what it looks like having this soul in a jar here. Is it like spectral? Is it a tiny Ganondorf? Does it look like an amiibo?
You see basically his upper half translucent. Mm-hmm. And he talks to you like that, and when the it's a flame in there with this upper torso like transparently fixed in there, so he'll often yell at you and try and get your attention. And our Ganon looks a little bit friendlier than typical Ganon. He has a similar style to my Link, where he's shirtless,
right?
And more young.
Now, you've put Ganon in a jar, and he is a ghost. Is there any kind of ectoplasm present with Ganon in the jar?
No, and no, absolutely
sort of,
not.
No kind of viscous goo or anything at all
not.
In the jar with Ganon?
No, it's,
no?
It's a flame.
Okay. All right. If you want to change your mind, it's okay. You're sure?
I'm sure. This is the final answer.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. That'll do it for me.
Agro goes wabbit season and points the gun at himself, hoping Bob will yell Bob season.
Right?
Okay. Well, we've learned a lot about these pitches, but, you know, outside perspective, probing inward can only get us so much information. There are certain things that people understand about their own work that are the strongest, and those may remain unknown. So we now go to each competitor and ask them to tell us, what's one thing about your game that you haven't told us about yet that you really want to? And we're going to start with KZ Excellent. KZ?
All right. So, after the events of getting through those five dungeons, and you're on your way to get the unlock the area that gets you the Master Sword, you've defeated Vati. Things seem good. You're going to cleanse this corruption with your Master Sword in the form of fighting a dark, evil Ganondorf. Upon defeating him, you're like, this is it. It's all good. But Vati returns and absorbs this dark energy of Ganondorf to become even more powerful, becoming the infernal, like, Sorcerer King, which sets the stage for the game's final dungeon.
Ooh.
Because, you know, taking him out early makes you think, oh man, you're going back to doing Ganondorf again. But no, we're going to give Vati this new form, make him cool, make the final big conflict be fighting this instead of, instead of Ganon or Ganondorf, because we do that one a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta give love to one of the other antagonists of this series that's been in a couple of the other ones.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. I like that.
Yeah.
The slight little twist. It's always good to just be like, you thought it was this.
Yes.
It's slightly different.
Yeah. It also allows it to be cool of like, there's a cool Ganondorf fight in this game, but it doesn't have to be the end-all thing.
Okay. Dr. Agro, what's one thing you haven't told us about yet?
One of the main pillars of our marketing push on this platform is going to be after years spent in development, working with licensing and legal firms and international diplomatic channels, we have gotten our education game licensed in 30% of NATO member countries as equivalent to 60% of a homeschool education. It, of course, must be supplemented with actual state-sponsored testing, but you could pretty much give your child a Switch, this game, and then drive them to a local community center to do a Scantron test and call it a GED.
Wow. Nintendo really bringing us into the future.
Jesus.
We figured we had to get there before Microsoft tried it.
Ha!
Because, Jesus, I don't want to live in that future.
It's okay. Your education is free on Game Pass. We're going to move on. Mr. Feel.
So, my game does not have normal voice acting. It has, like, gibberish voice acting, kind of like Animal Crossing, or in a more vulgar example, Banjo-Kazooie.
Okay.
However, we are still getting any returning voice actors to come back and do that gibberish, so you will get to hear Sean Chiplock, voice of Revali, cluck like a chicken when he laughs.
Fantastic. I'm so happy to hear that. Bob.
Uh-huh.
Tell me one thing about your game.
I haven't got to talk about the multiplayer at all yet.
What?
Oh, fuck, I forgot.
Yeah, it was in the pitch.
Yeah, it was.
We're going to have it so you can join in and do co-op two-player at any point. It completely unhinges the game. We do not balance for that. We don't care. It's about having fun.
Oh, my God, you get it.
And there will be a 5v5 deathmatch.
Oh.
It's kind of like a Halo setup. The weapons just strewn on the map.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Very classic and very modern with the other mode. That's really cool that your multiplayer offerings are so well-rounded like this. Well, we're reaching the end of you being able to talk about your games. This last bit is 15 seconds, where you get to tell me why your game should win over your competitors, whether that's building yourself up or taking them down. You got 15 seconds. Let's go ahead and get to it. Mr. Feel, go right ahead.
Animal Crossing sold roughly 35 million units. A combination of Zelda and something pretty close to Animal Crossing will sell, by our estimations, exactly one copy for every single Switch sold.
Okay. That's fantastic. I really like sales. We're now going to move on to KZ. KZ, why your game?
Well, my game will be very special online when you see the trailer of it, where Link, portrayed by Scott McNeil, is facing off against the Ganondorf, voiced by Patrick Seitz. And that on its own will sell 1.5 billion copies.
That is fantastic news. Very excited for them to join the Zelda universe. We'll now move on to Bob. Bob?
I think the demon outlaws in my game will really sell you on it. There's a Bongo Bongo, but he has six hands and guns in each one.
Oh, shit!
There's a humanoid boomerang.
What?
Named Doomerang. A stupid Goron named Gordo, who is a keeper of the Dodongo, who now looks like a Triceratops again.
Oh, okay.
Horsehead is back.
I think that's time. Okay, well, thank you for this amazing cast of demon outlaws. Jesus. Okay, we're going to move next to Dr. Agro. Dr. Agro, why should your game that's literally a replacement for education win instead of your competitors?
I'm going to be real with you, Chief. The Learning of Zelda is probably America's only realistic shot of dragging its academic standards back up to the rest of the world's.
Oh. All right. Succinct and to the point. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I have a lot to think about. I'm going to go do just that.
Game of the year.
And decide which one of you wins this episode of Armchair Devs Zelda. Gentlemen, I have returned. And with that, I have some feedback to give you on your pitches before I reveal who wins this episode of Armchair Devs.
Zelda.
Dr. Agro.
Yes, sir.
I think there's something really wholesome about the fact we're trying to make the Switch, or Nintendo's platform at the time, so much more than just a place to play games. I appreciate it becoming more than a video game by really educating people on all these different subjects via their favorite Zelda characters, and music taught by the King of Red Lions is very, very exciting. I meant to ask this earlier. He is not a boat right now, right? He's just...
Oh, no, he is a boat.
Oh, okay. That actually kind of makes that better, like, in a way. I can see him like teetering to the beat, you know?
Right. We never show him moving. He's just always where he needs to be.
Oh, I thought he'd be in a bathtub.
That's really good. But yeah, I think this is a real win for us. You know, it's not enough to outsell all of our competitors and have some of the best-selling software ever. It is important to do things that are meaningful on top of that, that we can smugly talk about in our press releases and other material. Bringing back that old Mario Paint energy. I really do appreciate that extra win that we define the battlegrounds of the console wars.
That's press conference value.
So it is. Mr. Feel.
Yes.
I think, as I said before, these two IPs fantastically mesh. I really think there's some amazing appeal to the concept of choosing Link or Linkle and having this adventure that is contained within this town, but also a little bit more than that as you do these dungeons or a dungeon and talk to the goddesses and stuff. It really does seem like a true evolution of the Story of Seasons format, but in a Zelda envelope that also reinforces the great core values of that game. And the Master Tool is a very inspired concept.
Thank you.
Bob.
Yeah.
Those demon outlaws are fucking cool. that gang is incredible, and you could hang an entire 2 seasons of anime off of them. I think there's something absolutely amazing in your game with the shattered sword funnels, the Goron revolver, this amazing character design you have on top of that. All these really cool, like, you know, there's the hub world. You get to talk to Zelda about getting your quests and stuff, and I think that's really fantastic. Also, trying to make Ganondorf a bit more likable and less intense in his design,
mm-hmm.
while also making him a bestie. Really good stuff. I really appreciate this pitch. There's so much strength here.
Thank you.
KZ.
Yes.
Okay, before I give you feedback, I realized there was one question that escaped my purview, okay? Just real quick. I'm sorry I didn't get this to this sooner.
Sure.
Are there any gizmo creatures in your game?
Gizmo creatures.
Like a duck.
Oh, yes. Would you like me to elaborate here?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, I will now list every breed of duck that is in this game. Abacot Ranger,
mm-hmm.
Islesbury,
mm-hmm.
Bally,
mm-hmm.
Black East Indian.
Mm, good choice.
Blue Swedish.
Mm-hmm.
Call.
Oh.
Campbell.
Oh, man.
Cayuga.
Oh, that's inspired.
Crested.
Is there a reason these are alphabetical?
I went alphabetically because I had this prepared a couple of rounds ago, and I was like, let me make sure that I still have it here. All organized. Crested miniature.
Mm-hmm.
Hookbill.
Hookbill. That's actually a controversial pick, but I'll hear it out.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit on the rare side, so people who might be offended by the hookbill might, in fact, you know, not even encounter it. Indian runner. Magpie.
Ooh.
Runaway feature creep.
Muscovy. Orpington.
27 dungeons wasn't enough.
Peckin.
Mm-hmm.
Rowan.
Mm-hmm.
Rowan Clare.
Mm-hmm.
Saxony.
Mm-hmm.
Silver Apple Yard.
Mm-hmm.
Silver Apple Yard miniature.
Can I get a Silver Apple Yard Blanco?
I got a Silver Bantam. Is that fine?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
How about a Welsh Harlequin?
Mm, okay, sure.
Okay, that's it.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
None of those were gizmos. So moving on, I really like your setting. I really like your setting. I think the beauty of your concept here is
yes.
that people get the Breath of the Wild they want and the link between worlds, non-linearity, that they also want, but the dungeons can elevate their design above that.
Yes.
I really do appreciate that. I think that's really good. I think this voice cast is going to knock it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of things going on that it makes for a strong core Zelda game. I don't think there's a single Zelda fan that wouldn't want your game.
Hell yeah.
Having done the only roundup bit with feedback where I don't give any negative feedback, I have decided this episode of Armchair Devs, the winner is Mr. Feel.
Yes!
While units sold isn't everything, but man, I would sure love to sell one for every Switch. And when I see that Linkle design, I know she will own Twitter for a month and a half at minimum.
Oh, damn.
She will be Twitter sleep paralysis demon. And I think these fusion of IPs are fucking perfect. And anyone who disagrees can eat it in the comments. Do you have anything to say for your extremely well-earned victory in this incredibly hard race?
Woo!
Oh no, is he dead?
No, I'm not dead. It's not air escaping my pockets.
Well, I'd like to thank all of our competitors for joining us for what is the most powerful episode of Armchair Devs possibly, and I would like to thank you for watching.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Armchair Devs. Podcasts like this and Big Think Dimension are only possible with viewer support. If you'd like to help us in the fight for good content, please show us your support over on patreon.com/gbpodcasts, where you can also listen to the extended pitches that couldn't make it into this episode.